You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.
I'm going to speak about something today very just quickly, and then we're going to pray and then we can go to the reception. This week alone, two different people said to me the same phrase. I haven't heard it for a long time, but as I grew up, I remember hearing it. But this week, two different people said the same phrase to me that I haven't heard in a long time. And what the phrase was, one person said it to me on the phone, and another person didn't actually say it to me. I overheard them say it as I was walking past. And I was like, wow, that's very unusual. I only heard that the other day. Someone said that to me. And the phrase was this: manners don't cost you money. It doesn't cost you anything to have manners. Now, if you are of my generation, or maybe slightly older, I'm 40, 41 as it goes, last Wednesday. This was something that you would hear a lot of as you was growing up. Manners, they don't cost you no money to have manners. And what people are saying is that there isn't a shop that you can go to. You can't go on eBay. You can't go to the mall. Doesn't matter if it's Westfields, in Shepherd's Bush, or in Stratford. You cannot find a shop that sells manners. What manners are is a decision that you make. You make a decision. That's what it was. And there is a truth to that. But I want to say that statement can be a little bit misleading. Because even though manners don't cost you money, that don't make it easy to have manners. Because how many know there's a lot of people in the world today that ain't got no manners? There's a lot of people in the world today that, even though we're saying manners is free and it's just a decision, no money's going to leave your bank account to have manners, many people don't have them. I was thinking about this because it's not just manners that we can get a bit confused about. Because it doesn't cost, we think it's easy. There are other things that you cannot buy in a shop, but actually they do cost you. You cannot buy them in a shop. You cannot buy it. There's not one shop you could go to buy it, but it costs you. And what that is love. Love is something you cannot buy. Love. You cannot buy it. But even though you cannot buy it, can I say to you today, love has a cost. It's going to cost you. Look at someone and say, it's going to cost you. I want to read a very popular, famous, you could say, passage of scripture, John 3:16. How many heard of that? Yeah. John 3:16. Everybody knows that. And so we're going to get into that. Some of you, you know, you're not regular attendance to church, but I think even you might have heard this. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you for your blessing upon the reading of your word. Father, as we preach your word, I pray that it would penetrate into our hearts. Let it be a guiding light, Father, for in our lives. Let it be applicable. Let it not just be knowledge that we hear and it goes in one ear and comes out the other. I thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible says in our text, and you may have heard it many times, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And this references Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. And the Bible is declaring here two things: that God so loved, and also God gave. And so when we say the word so loved, what do we get from that? Well, it's very simple. If someone was to say to you, oh, I love you so, I love you so. Now we would have expected for Jamie and Curtis to get to this point, that we would expect that at some point Curtis would have said to Jamie, I love you. How many would have expected that? Yes. Come on, ladies, help me out here. If you're going to come all the way down the aisle and there's a brother waiting for you, how many of you would have liked him to say, I love you at least once? Yes. Come on, work with me, ladies. And so if Curtis was to say to Jamie, I so love you, and Jamie wants to say to Curtis, I so love you, what they're doing is they're trying to show the amount. They're saying this love that I have is a high quality and a high quantity. This is not just any old love. This is something which has a lot to it. And so when the Bible says God so loved us, What he's saying is that this is of a high quantity love. He loves us a lot. And so we could like that. How many like to be loved? Yeah, you like, if someone really loves you, you, most of us will like it. Some of you here, you would like maybe someone to tell you. Maybe you're wishing someone would tell you. Tell you more. But the Bible says that God so loved us, but it doesn't stop there. It says, for God so loved us that he gave. What the Bible is saying is that God had such a love for us, but it also cost him something. And when you have love, there's always going to be a cost. There has to be a cost to love. You cannot say that you love somebody and there's no cost to it. The Bible says in 1 John 4 verse 8, he who does not love does not know God. It says if you don't love, you actually don't know God. I meet many people that tell me, I know God. Me and God are like this. Me and the Father are like this. And then, yeah, okay, you, big talk. But the Bible says if you don't know love, you don't know God. And the Bible explains why. Because at the end of that passage of scripture, it says, for God is love. Very unique. People can read over that, but that's a very unique description. Because me and you are not love. Me and you are people. We do love. To us, love is like a doing word. It's a doing word. It's what we do. When we love someone, we're doing it. But the Bible says that God and love is more deeper than that. He doesn't just love us. He is love. That means everything he does is done out of the perspective of what he is, love. But the Bible shows us the person who invents love and is love, even for him, love costs. Even for him. Now, if love in its purest costs, that's what we understand what love is. Now, I'm not going to get too technical here, but I want to say this. When we use the word love in our culture today, it can be said in many different ways. And so when I'm saying the word love, you may be thinking of something different. Because your perspective of love and my perspective of love could be different. And so our culture can change the words. Like bad. We could say, oh, that's bad. To some, that would be good. To some, that would be bad. We could say, no, that's sick. To some, that would be, oh, that's really good. To others, oh, maybe we need to cook them some chicken soup. So we understand a word, one word. So when I say love, what do I mean? When the Bible says love, what does it mean? See, someone could say these things. Someone could tell you, I've met people that tell me this all the time, Pastor, I love chicken. Love chicken. I love food, you know. Pastor, I love chicken. Hey, I could just eat chicken all day. I love it. Let me say this now. I do love chicken. I like chicken, so don't get nervous. But then I could be someone say, yeah, I love chicken, and then turn around and say, oh, I love my wife. Are you telling me that's the same thing? The same way you feel about chicken. So if we take you to Nando's, you look over the person at the till's desk. There's always the grill behind. I mean, we've been to Nando's. You know what Nando's is? Praise God. Some of you, okay. And you're feeling the same feelings as the day when you saw your wife come down. No. It cannot be the same. We use the same word, but it cannot mean the same thing. Someone can say they love their car. And then they turn around and say, I love my kids. I mean, it's totally different. Those are your parents. You know the difference. There's a total difference. See, we use the same word. See, because in the English, it's all the same word. But in Greek, when the Bible was written, the New Testament was written in Greek, it's speaking about different things. In the Greek, they have about five words for love. We have one word, they have five words. Let me give you some of these words. First one is eros. This is where you get the root word for erotica. Eros, that's where it comes from. And what this describes is not just a sexual love, but what it means is an emotional love, a feeling. So this is when a man and a woman come together, when he really likes that woman. He's a red-blooded man, he likes a woman. Nothing wrong with that. It's righteous. God made Adam and Eve. I don't know. I just feel some resistance here. I don't know. God made Adam and Eve. He made Adam and Steve. He made Adam and Eve. And so he designed a man so that when he's with a woman, and so I'm married, I've been married 10 years, and so I'm married, and so my wife, I find her attractive. And when a man sees a woman, he finds her attractive, there's feelings he'll feel. When a woman finds a man, she's attracted to him, she feels some things, and that is where we get this word eros, I feel that. Now that's the word love. In English, we would say, I feel I'm falling in love, I love that person. But those feelings you feel for that woman, you wouldn't feel for someone else in the same way. Now, let me explain myself. I might say, oh, I love this couple. And then I say, I love my wife. I don't feel for them the same way I feel for my wife. So when I say I love this couple, I'm not saying eros. Definitely ain't saying eros. Definitely ain't saying that. So in Greek, there's the word eros, there's the word philios. The word philios, again, we use the same word love. The word philios means a brotherly love, a friendship love. It describes the love between two people who have a common interest, experience, or fondness. So this is a brotherly love. This is why in America you have Philadelphia. It's known as the city of brotherly love. It's used that word, philios. It's a Greek word. It's different than eros. This is when two guys, they grew up together, they went to school together, they hang out together, and they're like, yeah, I love you, bro. I don't feel that's not like the love I have for my wife. That's now philios. That's a brotherly love. I got your back. Anything you need, you know I'm there for you, bro. That's what that is. That's philios. That's a love. But it's totally different from that. There's another one which is interesting that many people usually don't speak about. It starts as sturgy or sturgy. I'm not a Greek linguist, but really what it means is the love that one has for a dependent. Really, it's called motherly love. When a mother sees a child, that dependency takes care of that child, feels the responsibility for that child. That's a good love. That's a healthy love. But the last one I want to mention is this word agape. I spoke about eros, philios, sergi. Agape is the love that when we see in the Bible when it says, for God so loved, it's not talking about eros, that God just saw you. He's like, No. It's not just talking about philios, that God was like, yeah, I got your back, bro. Because God is God and man is man. It was not sergi that God would just had like a motherly love, you're dependent. Because all of these other loves can change. Because you can find someone attractive today and not feel the same way tomorrow. You don't have to say amen. You know it. And I know it. You can be friends with somebody. One minute, yeah, we're bro, we're friend. You can grow apart. There we go. Praise God. And so we can understand that agape is what the Bible is speaking about. Okay, so what does this word mean, agape? Agape has nothing to do with circumstances. All those other loves are to do with circumstances. That's what they are. They're all to do with circumstances. And basically, circumstantial love is that when all the circumstances are right, I love you. But agape has nothing to do with circumstances. And agape is all about the person who says the love. Meaning, I've chosen to love you. That's what agape means. I've chosen to love you. That means even if I may feel up and down, I've still chosen to love you. Even if we seem to get on and we don't get on. Because now how many sometimes you're not going to get on with some people? See, marriage is not just how you feel. This is why many people get married, because they feel. Feelings got them into marriage. But the problem is, sometimes those feelings go down for a little bit. Sometimes you feel like, yeah, I'm on top of the world. It's like getting a job. Sometimes you love that job. Sometimes you hate the job. That's the reality of it. It's like being in a family. Sometimes you're in a family, people can vex you in that family. But you're family and you love those people. See, agape love
is what the Bible is speaking about. And agape love is what holds things together. All those other loves don't hold things together. It's the agape love. When the Bible says, for God so loved us, he's talking about agape. When we come down the aisle and we make these vows, it's agape you guys need. Because agape love is what holds everything together. It would hold friendships together. It will hold families together. It will hold marriages together. Where there is no agape love, there may be some eros, some filio, something else. But where there is no agape love, you're going to find distance, separation, and divorce. They say, the statistics say this, 50% of marriages end in divorce. That means if we had 10 couples that got married today, the statistics say only 5 of them will stay married. But hold up, all of those people that got married, they come down the aisle and they usually say the same vows. They say the same things. The problem is they never had agape. They had other loves. Oh yeah, we seem to get on. I met you at work, we've got the same things, we've got philios. Philios ain't going to help you. Because now we're going in different directions. When you marry, listen, when a man marries a woman, he starts to realize very quickly, you're different. And a woman marries a man, he starts to realize, hey, you're different, man. You're different than me. I like sales. When I go into a shop and it's on sale and I find something that I've wanted, I like that. I like a bargain. I like to get more for less. How many like sales? Come on. Come on. I know you. There's people in here. You love sales, man. Some people in here, we show you something, you don't like it. We put a sale tag on it. You just like it. There's some women here. That alone. Do you want that? No, I don't want it. That's what I got to have it. I like sales. I was speaking to Pastor James Wilkins that we had for the revival. He's going back to America. And so I said, you know, when I go to the Tucson conference, I'll save up a few pennies and go there. And now and again, you'll buy something in America. It's cheaper. And I feel happy. I'm coming back like I've achieved something. Yeah. I'm not paid full price for it. I like sales. The problem is, in our world today, we want love for a sale price. We want the quality product of love, but we want it on sale. We want it. Basically, it's like, I want to love you. I love you, but I want it to cost me less. What we want is cheap love. We would never say it. We would never confess it. Like, I'll love you. I've got you. I love you. I feel for you. I want to be in a relationship with you. I want to get married with you. But really what we're saying is, it's cheap love. Because the world has made love cheap. Our culture has made love cheap. Now, love is more just words. If I say I love you, then I say I love you. Well, let me tell you this now. If you say you love me, show me you love me. Because you can't be telling a woman you love her and then you're boxing her. You don't love her. Because you don't box people you love. Let me stay on this issue, because when it goes quiet, I like to stay on the issue a bit longer. Listen, you can't be saying you love somebody and then you treat them in a way that only people who hate people treat people. But it's no. But I said I love you. No, yeah, you said it. But that's cheap love, because that love is no more than words. Listen, ladies, you can't say you love a guy and then whenever he talks, you're just talking him down. Chatting him down, embarrassing him, trying to diss him, telling him he's like, you're a waste man anyway, in front of his friends, and then you wonder why he gets angry. All men are dogs. No, maybe all your men are dogs. I ain't no dog. I'm a human being. I love my wife. I've been married for a little while. I'm not no dog. All men are dogs. Maybe you've been going to the pound. Better see dogs. Listen, I don't know where you've been going to get your man. But that's the reality. We say love. Listen here, when someone says they love you, have they showed you? I've seen women date a guy. Guy cheats on her, told her, and then they say, but I love you. That baffles me. But the worst thing is, then she'll go, pick up the phone and go argue with the other woman. But hold up, she never told you she loves you. Why are you arguing with her? What did she do? She didn't. She never told you she loved you. Yeah, how dare you? You took my man. Listen,
there's no woman in this planet that could take me for my wife.
I'm not like some sort of docile dog that you could just lead me. Oh, yeah, I couldn't help it. See, if I do it, I chose it. Listen, if you're man enough to do it, you're man enough to man up to it. That's cheap love. That's what it is. We say we love, it's words. See, many times people don't even use that word till February comes around, chocolate, flowers. Can I say, love is going to cost you more than chocolates and flowers. Love is going to cost you more than chocolates and flowers. See, listen, we need to deal with some business here. I know some of you, maybe you come to church and this might be a bit different. You're used to the dog collar and all of that. But we deal with the real deal. Sex is not love. Sex is not love. God made sex. God made sex for a man and a woman, husband and wife, to have sex. The Bible says two become one. How do you think they become one? How do you think they become one? Sex. God invented it. But listen, sex is not love. See, real love between a man and woman will produce sex. But real sex doesn't produce love. Oh, I don't. Listen, a man can have a prostitute. That don't make you love her. And many, listen, there are many people that have evaluated, because we have sex, we love each other. No. You've cheapened love. That's cheap love. It's more than that. It's more than words. It's more than just buying me flowers or buying me a few things. Have you ever been to a store? I've done this many times, and you've gone in, there's a sale on, and you see a jacket, pair of trousers, jeans, pair of trainers, and you pick, ah, yeah, I've been looking for this. Yeah. You take it up to the till, and they say, oh, no, that's not on sale. No, hold up. You said this is sale. Someone put it in that area. How many have ever done that? That's vexing. The one thing I wanted in your whole shop, and you're telling me it's not on sale. They said, no, sorry. I've tried to debate that. No, sorry. And they take it from the sale rack and they go put it in the other stuff. Some things never go on sale. Do you know that? Some products never go on sale. There's some places you could go. Very rarely do they have sales. They don't. You know why they're saying that? They say, no, because it still has value. Can I say to you today, love never goes on sale. Love is too valuable. See, love is something you cannot buy, but it costs. And it will, real love will always cost you. If you ever utter those words out of your mouth, I love you. If it's real love, get ready. It's going to cost you something. It has to cost you something. It cannot be just words that I say to make that person feel good or give me what I want. That's cheap love. Because love never goes on sale. What is the price of love? Well, the Bible describes it perfectly. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4. This is, those of you that know, this is the love passage of the Bible. It says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not reject, it does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It always is hopeful. It endures through every circumstance. This is the price of love. It says, if you really love, this is what you're going to pay with. You're going to pay with this. I remember going somewhere, picking something up. Never had a price tag on it. Again, the one thing in the whole shop I like. Hey, this is nice. Yeah. You take it to, yeah, I like this. How much is this? They tell you the price. You're like, no, I don't like it that much. I mean, I've done that. I don't like it that much. Or, yeah. If you're really broken, you're ashamed. You're like, yeah, I'll come back. Yeah. Just, I'll be back. You've never been back in that store since. You like it, but you don't like it that much. Many times people say, I love you, but when it comes to the payment, they don't love you that much. They don't want to buy it that much. This is why many people are not willing to pay. A few things from the text. Love is patient. When you say to someone, I love you, what you're saying is, I'm going to be patient with you. I'm going to wait for you. That means you may inconvenience me, but I still love you. When you love someone, they inconvenience you, but you'll show them patience. You'll wait for them. You'll wait for them to change. You'll wait for them to understand how you're saying. You're going to understand what they're saying. Hold up. Let me get what you're saying here. I don't fully understand, but when you love someone, patience is what you'll show. If you're not patient with them, but you say you love them, what it is you want to say love, but you're not willing to pay patience. Patience is the cost of love. You cannot say, oh, I love you, but you show them no patience. It says kindness. Love is kind. Now, let me just state the obvious here. We're all kind to those who are kind to us. Most people are kind to people that are kind to them. But the Bible is saying love is what when things are not going your way? What when that person hasn't done what you wanted them to do the way you wanted them to do it? What when they've upset you? Are you still able to be kind to them? Or does it become tit for tat? Does it become, no, you didn't do this, so I'm not doing that? The Bible says that's not real love. See, anybody, a perfect stranger can open the door for me. Oh, thank you very much. Anybody can be kind to someone who's kind to them. Anybody, even the worst gangster can do that. But the issue is, when you're in a marriage, and that person, or you're in a relationship, and that person, things are not going your way, can you still be kind to them? That's the test of real love. That's the price. The Bible says, this is a beautiful one here. It says, love is not irritable. Love doesn't get irritated easily. When you love someone, they don't irritate you easily. You're able to deal with it. You hear people say, yeah, do you love them? Yeah, I love them. But they just get on my nerves all the time. And this is the crescendo, meaning the apex. Love, it keeps no record of being wronged. I remember I had an argument with someone and they, from 1960, long time, they still remember when you stepped on their toe. There's some people, listen, they've got a memory on them for bad things. Anything, they can't remember nobody's name, nobody's birthday, but when it comes to anything that's gone wrong in their life, they just bring it up. The Bible says, listen, when you love someone, you let things go. You don't hold a record of it. And in a marriage, can I tell you, this is kryptonite to marriages. This is going to destroy marriages. When you keep bringing up the past, what they did, you got to love them. If you love them and they've apologized, you got to let it go. You got to let it go. And so we don't want to do that. You know why? Because it gives us leverage. You understand that? It means that we get the upper. Yeah, but let me show you who you are. That's why many people are not together anymore. Because they wasn't willing to pay the price. There's a price to love. That's why many people are not married. Listen, there's some women here. Maybe you're with a guy If you said to that guy, listen, nothing happens until we get married. Some women, you know that guy wouldn't marry you. I've met many women that are with a guy, sleeping with a guy, they know that man would not marry them. If I said, did he love you? Yeah. He's not willing to pay the price. See, 10 years ago, I walked down the aisle. Well, I didn't walk down the aisle, she walked down the aisle. But I was waiting for her. We did walk back down the aisle together. And I said to my wife, I made vows. And those vows meant something. Meaning that I'm off limits to every other woman. Not that there was many on us. But I'm off limits. That means this is the woman that I've committed the rest of my life to. As long as I'm alive and she's alive, it's us together. I've made that commitment. When you get into marriage, you're going to find out things about that person you never knew. You're laughing. See, the problem is we've turned like into love. You like someone and you call it love. See, like doesn't have the same price as love. And like shouldn't bring you down the aisle. Love needs to bring you down the aisle. Because love has a cost and like is a total different thing. Let me close with this. Finish off. Nothing costs nothing. Nothing costs nothing. That's a play on words, yeah? Meaning that there isn't anything in the world that costs nothing. Even if you get something free, someone somewhere had to pay for it. Nothing costs nothing. Oh, they gave me an apple for free. Okay, they gave you apple, but someone had to drive it to the shop. Someone had to pick it. Someone had to plant the seed. Someone had to do something. Even if you say, no, nature just did it. Okay, but the light from the sun had to hit it. Photosynthesis had to take place. The sun is burning up its own energy. Nothing costs nothing. Meaning that there isn't anything that doesn't have a cost to it. But also the other play on words is this. If you pay nothing, you get nothing. If you pay nothing, you'll get nothing. If your love doesn't have anything, you will not receive anything. And there are many people that are going to live their life not willing to pay the price of love and die lonely. Family in tatters. Marriages, just a wreck. Relationships that cause pain and hurt. Because really and truly, they thought, oh, I can get something for nothing. No, you cannot get something for nothing. You know what something for nothing makes you a hustler? That's what a hustler is. A hustler wants to get something for nothing. Why should I work 9 to 5 every day? No, I'm going to do this and get what they make in I'll make it in a week, what they make in a month. But the reality is, you can't hustle life. You can do a few scams and make a few bucks, but you can't hustle life. You can't hustle your marriage. If you don't put the love in, you ain't going to get the love out. You can't hustle with your kids. If you don't spend time with your kids and put something into them, they're going to come back and deal with you. Because you can't hustle life. See, a good marriage is had by people that are willing to pay the price. That's what it is. It's held by people that are willing to pay the price. And that's what we said today, the vows. You know what the vows are? The vows are simply, I'm going on record to let you know I'm willing to pay for what I've been saying about you. So you can meet someone, I don't know where meet people, but you can meet someone and walk around, that's my girlfriend, my boyfriend, I met them in a club, met them in a supermarket, met them on the bus. And you met them, and you say, yeah, you get to know them, and then you say, I love you. But when a person gets married, what they're saying is, I've been saying to you, I love you, but I'm willing to go before everybody and make a declaration that I'm going to pay the cost of what I've been saying. Because think of the vows, for better or for worse. What it means is, my love is agape. It's not just eros. It's not just filio. For better or for worse, if circumstances change, my love remains. For better or for worse, meaning we're going to get married and things get better, well, praise God, everybody would keep loving. But if things get worse, if our marriage gets tough, if we seem to not get on anymore, if we're going through a tough patch, if we're suffering a bit, if this ain't like I wanted it to be, I'm still willing to pay the price because I said I love you and I'm going to work through it and I'm going to make sure that we finish this race that we begun. That's what it is. You're willing to pay the price. People that get divorced, separate, their love wasn't real love. And you may not agree with me with that, but the reality is, it's like a car that don't move. It's broken down. No, this is a good car. If it don't move, it's not good. If it don't make it to the end, it wasn't agape. Because in our text, it says agape never fails. It never fails. For richer or for poorer. When things get tough, for financial tough, they say that the things that people argue about the most in their marriage, money, family, sex. Those are the things that most people always argue about in their marriage. For richer or for poorer, money is one of those. When you go through poverty, or when there's not enough money, and there's the stress of just making ends meet, I'm still going to love you. We hope that Curtis does well, and Jamie does well financially. We hope that these things happen and we pray and believe. But sometimes you got to go through some hard times. And at that point, we need to know, okay, I'm going to stick with you. I'm not going to run off. I'm not going to find, you know, this guy at my work, he's got a nicer car than you. Bye. I'm not a gold digger. That's the issue. For richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health. Listen, nothing really pays the price like sickness. You get married to someone, think about this now. One of our pastors in America, Pastor Warner, has a church of 1,000 people. He sent out the church in Rotherhithe. They sent us out here to start this church. He's a young disciple, got married, I believe in his 20s, had a car accident. After he had just been married, in a wheelchair, paralyzed from the waist down. Paralyzed from the waist down. They've been married longer than I've been alive. And they're still married today. What about if your spouse has an accident like that? Bro, what if you've got to push your wife around in a wheelchair for the next 60 years? Could you still love her? Sis, what if he has an accident and he's paralyzed? And you have to feed him, wash him, and dress him? Then we're going to know if you loved him. Yeah, when he was fit, he had his six pack. He had money, he was driving around, he looked good. But what if he had an accident? What if he gets a sickness? And then you've got to feed him and push him and dress him. You've got to take care of him. See, could you pay that price? Is your love legitimate love? Or was it just a phase? Like these pop stars that get married and then, oh yeah, we just fell out of love. No, that's a lie. You never had love. You liked. You lusted, but it wasn't love. See, this is what the gospel is. Some of you here wouldn't know what the gospel is. The gospel is not happy, clappy music. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's not what the gospel means. The word gospel means good news. That's what it means. That way, hey, where's the gospel music? Where's the gospel choir? No, you're hearing the gospel now. The gospel means good news. The good news is this. That me and you are jacked up, broken, struggling to get through life. And if you don't believe that, read the newspaper. We've got war, we've got rape, we've got crime, we've got pedophile, we've got broken families, we've got children in gangs stabbing each other. How dare we say that we haven't failed? Where's the pride? How can you not be humbled? Society needs God. The Bible says these words, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. I'll be the first one. Let me go first and say, I'm not righteous in myself. Me?
I'm not righteous. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm not righteous of myself. The Bible says there is none righteous. If I was to ask someone, if you're righteous, put your hand up. Do you know why no one put their hand up? Because they realized that would make you self-righteous. And nobody likes a self-righteous person. The Bible says none of us are righteous. No, not one. Because we're all sinners. But listen what the Bible says here. Romans 5 verse 8. But God demonstrated his own love towards us. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know what that means? Even though I was living my life at 22, running around, I didn't care about God. I didn't want to please God. I didn't listen to God. I smoked and drank and did crime and did everything I wanted to do, and I didn't care God. Really, my life was saying, that's what I give you, God. That's what my life was saying. But the Bible says, while I was yet a sinner, God demonstrated his love for me. He didn't wait for me to, okay, let me clean up my act. Okay, shirt and tie now. I'm coming to church. He didn't wait for that. And he said, okay, you've cleaned up your act. Now I'm going to die for you. No, no, no. While I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. God's love paid for us. There's some of you here, you are in the same predicament I was when I was 22. You're not a Christian. You're not saved. You're not born again. You haven't given your life to Christ. You haven't called out for God's help. You remain in your own righteousness. And even though you're living your life without God and saying, I don't need God, the very God that gave you breath, the very God that allowed you to get up today and come into this place, the very God that is allowing you to live, and you would say with the breath, because listen, no one didn't manufacture oxygen here. And the reality is, even though we live without him, I don't care. Some of you, oh, this preacher, pastor, whatever he is, shut up. Even though I'm talking about him and you, in your heart, you're warring against God, he still demonstrated his love to you. He's still demonstrating his love to you. He's still saying, listen, my son Jesus, I died for you. I gave everything to reach out to you. Which person do you know would have that? Which husband do you know that the wife would diss him, run off with other men, tell the husband, listen, you ain't even a man. He makes me feel like a man. Yeah, I've had this guy, that guy, this guy, and done all of that. And the husband would still say, I love you. Which woman that you know would have that? But God has had it from us. And he still loves us. He's demonstrated his love to us. And the Bible simply says, last thing I'll say, Romans 10 verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Being a Christian is as simple as this, just calling out and saying, God, I need your help. I need your help. Many times people think religion is about you fixing yourself and becoming religious. No, that's self-righteousness. And God hates that as much as he hates any unrighteousness. God hates the self-righteous as he hates the drug dealer and the pedophile and whoever. God hates self-righteousness. What God wants is honesty to come and say, listen, God, if you will love me that much when I was an enemy of you, how much would you love me if I was to come into your fold, into your family? Love has a price. And I say to this couple, we want you to enjoy this day. We want you to have a wonderful time. But what we really want is in years to come, your love has kept you together. When there's tough times, when there's arguments, remember, I'm willing to pay for what I said on this day. When there's financial difficulties, strain, pressure, things are not running well, we pray that you will have good health and your family and your children and your finances will be blessed. But no matter what you go through, you remember, listen, we can make this because we're willing to pay the price for real love. Amen. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.